You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yay! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, this is it. This is the last show of 2015. Woo!
That's right. We're wrapping things up here, Rich. But we have something special planned for you guys.
Yes, of course. We can't just have a regular show to end the year.
Well, no. We got to go out with a bang.
Especially coming off of the Christmas episode last week, which if you haven't checked that out, you definitely need to. Mike did a fantastic job, as he always does.
Oh, thank you.
With the song parodies, including one of them that came true, which we'll get to.
We'll
get to in a little bit.
But also, I got to tell you, because I haven't said this on the podcast yet, but you did a fantastic job shooting and editing our special Christmas video up on the YouTube channel.
That's right. Yeah.
That is just, yeah. So we got lots of gifts for you guys.
Yes.
In this holiday season. So go check them out.
Yeah. Make sure to check out the YouTube page. Search Crispy Noodle Podcast and you'll find all of our videos. But the most recent one, a special Christmas video that we shot here, right here at the Crispy Noodle headquarters, which is your kitchen.
And we had such a blast recording it, didn't we?
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
It was amazing.
A lot of fun to act on that one.
Yeah.
Before we dive into the meat of what we're going to do with this special end of the year 2015 podcast for the Crispy Noodle, let's do a little recap as to what we've been up to and how Christmas went. How was your Christmas?
My Christmas was very good. It was very enjoyable. Lots of family and fun and great tasting food. Yeah, I mean,
of course,
it's the same thing every year, the seven fishes one night, and then the very next day we go up to my aunt's house to have chicken cordon bleu and chicken cutlets, and so it was a great 1-2 punch in terms of spending time with the family and eating great food.
If you're not eating a whole bunch of food on Christmas, you're not celebrating Christmas, right?
Exactly. See, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, you got to have the seven fishes and a whole bunch of cookies and
yes.
Candy.
Oh, all the desserts. Oh, my gosh. My aunt makes an amazing tiramisu. Oh, it's so good. Oh. What about you? How was your Christmas? Did Santa bring you everything you asked for?
Yeah. It was good. Oh, my gosh. I had a four-day weekend because of the way Christmas fell. But, boy, man, it doesn't feel like it. It just felt like it all went by really fast. It just feels like a blur.
It always goes by too quick, right?
Yeah. It always does. But that's a part of what makes the holidays and makes it a special time of the year. Something that I do want to get to is the fact that we both went to an exclusive screening of The Hateful Eight, which they called the Roadshow viewing of it. And, oh, my gosh, I enjoyed it.
I had a lot of fun, and I'm just listening to this music is just taking
me
back.
This is the overture.
Yeah, this is the overture.
Yeah.
Fantastic soundtrack, by the way. I mean, that's something you always expect going into a Quentin Tarantino
Ennio,
movie.
Morricone.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
I guess.
He did.
I don't just if you say so.
Just say yes and nod your head.
Yes. I'm nodding. Nobody can see that.
It's all right.
But yeah, so anyway, the movie. We went to the Roadshow screening of it. For those of you that don't know about the Roadshow screening, it's the 70mm one, which is shot in Ultra Panavision,
Ultra Panavision 70.
Right, so it's extra wide, this very cinematic aspect ratio. But that's not the only unique aspect of it. We walk in, you give the lady the ticket scan code, and she goes, the line starts there, you can pick up your programs from this kiosk. And we go, programs?
Yeah, for a movie?
For a movie, yeah. I mean, when it was an experience, you know, an all-around experience. You got the program that had the cast of characters, information about the movie, some art, you know, and then the movie starts with an overture with this amazing soundtrack.
Yeah.
You know, then
get you in the mood.
Gets you in the mood. Then you have, you know, the chapter titles. Then you go through an hour and a half. Then you have literally a 15-minute intermission.
Yeah, which that was cool.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I wish more movies would do that.
Yeah, it was a very relaxed way to watch a movie.
Yeah. You know, you got to have a bathroom break or if you wanted some food or drink.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was... But overall, I mean, I'm talking about the whole experience of the fact that it was more like a play than a movie. It was very exciting for me.
I think Quentin Tarantino should be commended for trying to bring this kind of experience back. They called it the Roadshow experience.
Yeah.
A couple movies did that in its heyday in the 60s. They did this format. I wish more movies would do this format. It was a great experience.
It brings back like the excitement you get when you used to go to the movies, you know? Because now with the way media is, you can just have anything at the snap of your fingers, you know, and so it makes going to the movies more of an event.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's why I enjoyed it so much as an event and experience. But about the movie, what did you think about the movie itself? The actual story and what was being shown on screen.
The movie is, if you love Quentin Tarantino, you'll love this movie. Personally, I thought the second half kind of dragged a little bit. The second half seemed like there's a lot more far out things that happen in the movie.
I think that's true for the whole movie. A lot of it was very...
I think the first half is solid.
When you watch
that first half, it's got great pace. You get introduced to the characters. You care about you figure out which ones you care about the most and who you think is the secret culprit, because the tagline is these eight strangers, one of them is trying to let the girl escape from Kurt Russell's hands. So it's the first half I think was really good. The second half I think kind of dragged a little bit after that intermission. But overall, if you like Quentin Tarantino, you gotta go see it.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed it. I'd say like a 7.5 ish.
Yeah, I'd say around there.
Not one of his better movies. This is what I think. I feel like the first two thirds of the first half and the first two thirds of the second half were good. It was in those closing moments of each half where Tarantino drops the ball, because in each case, it just gets really just. I don't know how to explain it. It gets really strange. You know, we're used to strange things, but
he likes to introduce things out of left field, and it's almost like, what?
There's a difference between out of left field and out of the stadium, though. You know, and people that see the movie will know what I'm talking about. There were some elements, and, you know, I'm not bashful about weird, crazy, wild things, but I feel like some of the things in this movie were a little over the topic, a little overly, it was supposed to be exaggerated. You know, it was supposed to have that exaggerated vibe to it. I thought it was just a little too much overkill in that department. I really like the mystery aspects, though.
Yeah.
You know, getting to, like you said, the first half was very good in getting to know the characters and setting up their story and setting up the potential conflicts that can arise between them. You know, because everybody has their own agendas, everybody has their own needs and wants and goals, and they're all very specific. And then the second half, it sort of unravels a little bit, like you say. But I still like the mystery element in the first part of that second half.
And I'll tell you what, Quentin Tarantino said in an interview, that none of these characters are good. And boy, man, he's right.
Yeah.
Every single one of these characters is just horrible in their own way. Like, nobody is really a good guy, quote unquote.
The Hateful Eight, you know, they hate each other. We hate them. You know, there's a lot of ways to unpack that title.
It's the perfect Christmas treat.
Yeah, exactly. That was a line from the Christmas video we did.
Yeah.
It is the perfect Christmas treat. It was a very fun experience.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed seeing it.
If you like Tarantino, you'll have fun at that. Okay. I think that takes care of what we've done in the past week. But now it's time to get on with the rest of the show. And the reason why I'm kind of dragging this out a little bit is because we're not going to treat it like a regular episode. This is it. This is the end of 2015. We are going to celebrate it like an award show.
Live from Ambler, Pennsylvania, it's the first annual 2015 Crispy Noodle Oddies with your hosts, Rich Liebig and Michael Costanzo. Oh, hey, Rich, how you doing?
Oh, that was a great tale you told in those 5 seconds of the announcer talking.
Oh, yes. We're up here on the Crispy Noodle stage.
Yep, right.
AKA
here.
My dining room table.
Yeah, actually on top of the table.
On top, yes, standing on top of the table. It's really difficult to balance the soundboard up here.
Yes, a lot of things are moving right now.
But we're so excited to bring all these amazing awards to you guys for the best of the best in the odd news from 2015.
Yep, that's what we traditionally do with the last show of the year. We did it last year and it was a hit, so we figured why not? Let's do it the same thing for our New Year's episode. We look back on 2015 and
as the ET theme music kicks in,
why not? Thank you. And we look back on 2015, all the crazy odd news stories that we had, and boy, we had some doozies.
Yes.
I mean, this is one of my favorite shows to plan out.
I know, because you get to relive all those amazing moments. So, to give you guys a little bit of background, you know, you figure there's like, what, almost 50 episodes in this year?
Just about. I think we only take one summer.
Yeah.
One week in the summer off and probably like another snow day or something.
Yeah. So about 50 episodes. You figure about seven odd news stories per episode.
Yeah.
So we're talking like 300 odd news stories at least.
Oh, during the year, yeah.
So we whittled that down to about, you know, 40 to 50 that we really loved. And then we whittled that down to the 12 best odd news stories. Or our favorites,
yeah,
of the odd news.
The ones that just made us laugh out loud and continue to make us laugh out loud when we re-listen to it. And, yeah, we hope that it does the same effect on you during this compilation of the best odd news stories of 2015.
But before we get into the best of the odd news, as with all award shows, we must honor those that have gone before us.
Yeah. So we have a little in memoriam segment.
A special in memoriam plan, because this broke just before our recording.
That's right. A one that we have to tribute the fallen with. Folks, Mike's Christmas wish came true and Chip Kelly got fired from the Eagles.
Yes! 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 I mean,
please.
Dearly departed.
Please continue, Mike.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I know that sounds wrong, but I was telling you, when we went to see The Hateful Eight, we were talking about the Eagles a little bit. And I was saying the reason why I was so upset with this season is because Chip Kelly took something that I loved so much and so passionately, and he just took a crap all over it. He ruined my fall, ruined my football season. He got my hopes all the way up and then just dashed them time after time. And I felt like I was betrayed. He took something that I loved and turned it into something I hated. And so it is with joy in my heart that I say good riddance. Good riddance. I was going to say something much worse, but I will refrain from that.
Okay, there you go, Mike.
I ran that music out of town, didn't
yes,
I?
Yes, you did. You came right down to the wire. Thank you, Mike. Your in memoriam segment for this year's Oddies Award show here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Chip Kelly's gone.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, yeah, Chip Kelly was recently fired this week. I think he had it coming.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we're in agreement.
It's a little weird that they chose to fire him the week before the season ended.
Yeah, that is a little weird. I think we were in agreement that it was strange, the timing, and also strange in the fact that Jeffrey Lurie did it so quickly. We both on record are saying we think that he would have stayed here next year.
Yeah.
Because Jeffrey Lurie likes to take his time with these things. Think about how long Andy Reid stuck around, right?
Yeah. Just kept thinking that he would turn the ship eventually. Usually he gives you the benefit of the doubt, but not for Chip Kelly.
Yeah. So, you know, I was shocked that they did it so quickly. But nonetheless, I'm a little bit relieved because, you know, one of my biggest complaints is that Chip Kelly was taking great players and great systems that were put in place by Andy Reid. Not great. They needed tweaking, obviously. But, you know, a good foundation. And he dismantled it and he didn't replace it with pieces that were as good or better. So you get rid of DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin. You have to bring in somebody that's as good or better. But we brought in Riley Cooper, Miles Austin, and Josh Huff.
Yeah.
You get rid of LeSean McCoy, you need to bring in somebody as good or better. Instead, we brought in DeMarco Murray, who doesn't fit the scheme, Ryan Matthews, who's always injured, and Darren Sproles, who's very undersized. You get rid of Nick Foles, you're supposed to get somebody that's better, but you bring in Sam Bradford. You get rid of your offensive... You see the trend here?
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just one or two bad decisions. It's not the fact that we lost the season, because somebody said that to me on Facebook. You know, like, oh, a couple of bad seasons and everybody's crying. It's not the couple of bad seasons.
It's the way he handled it.
It's the way he, yes. It's the way he handled it. That's perfectly put.
And it's a shame that I think that a lot of the controversy comes to the fact of because of his decisions as the GM. Coach,
yeah.
Chip the GM really screwed Chip the coach out of this job.
Oh, he did. All you have to do is look at the numbers from 2013. I mean, we were like top of the league in almost every offensive category. And look at us now. We can barely run the ball. Sam Bradford has, I think, almost as many interceptions as touchdowns. Our offensive line is a wet paper bag. DeMarc, you know, I mean, we name one weapon on that offense. You can't. It's like Zach Ertz, maybe. If he holds
Darren
on to
Sproles.
The ball. Darren Sproles, but he doesn't really get the number of touches you need for him to be a premier back.
No. It's a shame that it had to end like this, but, you know, it's not. The only thing that's surprising about it is the timing of it. That's really it. The fact that he got fired isn't in of itself surprising.
Yeah. Well, I think we all knew that he would be going eventually. We just all thought it would be sometime next year.
Yeah. Do you think he'll end up in Tennessee with Mariota?
That's one of the possibilities that I've heard. You know, people, as soon as they heard the news, they're all saying, oh, he's going to reunite with Mariota in Tennessee. There's a good possibility of it. You know, they could use a coach. You know that Chip Kelly and Mariota probably want a reunion. So I'd say, you know, Chip Kelly really wanted his guy in the draft. So maybe this is how he'll eventually get that guy.
There you go.
Well, what do you think? Do you think he's going to stay in the NFL or go back to college? Because there's also some debate about that as well.
Yeah, I think the problem is college head coaches are just notorious for having a tough transition to make it to the NFL. And it seems to me Chip Kelly is a college head coach.
Yeah.
You know, I think the last two seasons really proved that once other teams figured out his strategy, Chip Kelly was not able to adapt to the NFL. I think personally he goes back to college. But I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised. But I heard that a lot of those positions have filled up already.
That is true. Yeah. So, the timing of this really does not help Chip Kelly at all.
No, not at all. Yeah. Although maybe reuniting with Mariota trumps going back to college.
Maybe.
I don't know. He really wanted to bring Mariota in.
He did, man. He was hot on him.
He was. Remember, there were rumors at one point that he was going to trade Fletcher Cox and Michael Kendricks, arguably two of the better. Well, Fletcher Cox, obviously one of the best defensive players we have, and Michael Kendricks, a very good linebacker. He was willing to trade those two guys at one point.
There was a rumor that Tennessee wanted two first round draft picks out of the Eagles for Mariota, in which case that would have definitely been the wrong move.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You can't trade the future of your franchise just for a hot quarterback.
Yeah.
Not like that.
I feel like he was close, though.
He was close.
I feel like he was ready to pull that trigger.
But I bet you a lot of the brass in the Eagles organization was like, no, you're going to get fired before the season even starts.
Yeah, yeah. They like making money, but they know that the way to make money is through winning games and keeping the fan base happy.
Yeah, so, they know that painfully after the last couple of games. They said fans were leaving in the third quarter. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Look, if I can't sit around in my comfortable living room to watch the game, why would I sit out there? If you can't, no, seriously, if you can't convince me to keep the TV turned on to the game, there's no way you're keeping my butt in that seat. Right?
Yeah, that's right. And the Eagles got the message, and they heard it
loud
and clear.
Yeah.
Yep. And it was definitely shocking when the news broke. Because
oh,
it was right about we were about to record, too.
Yeah, we were, like, getting ready, and I pull out my phone, like, oh, my God, Rich, they fired Chip Kelly. And you're like, no.
Yeah, I thought you were joking. I was like, no, it couldn't have happened this early.
I thought it may have been a misprint because, you know, I get those little updates on my phone. It was just Chip Kelly fired. And I'm like, what?
What?
You know? So, but no, it's true. He's gone. So there you go.
All right, another quick question.
Okay.
So the Eagles are going to be in the hunt for another head coach. Would you prefer more of an offensive guy, a defensive guy?
I
think we all are tired of the college experiment. I don't think anyone's going to want a college coach.
I don't want a college coach. As to whether I want offense or defense, here's the reality of the league. It's trending towards offense, okay? So if you bring in a guy that knows how to work the offense, then you're in a pretty good position. But you have to bring in a guy that also recognizes how important defense is and goes and gets a defensive coordinator that can work wonders. So you have to think like Andy Reid, offensive guy, but he brought in Jim Johnson.
Yeah.
So we need.
And that's why they were successful.
Right. We need an offensive head coach that understands the importance of defense. Does that make sense?
I think so. But boy, man, this is really going to leave a mess for the Eagles. Now, yeah. No head coach. Sam Bradford's going to be a free agent. We don't know what's going to happen to him.
We're screwed.
DeMarco Murray is an $8 million bench warmer. What's going to happen to him?
I guarantee you, nobody wants to believe this, but we're going to need three offensive linemen.
Oh, yeah.
Because
offensive line sucks.
Jason Peters is old and injured. He's not going to be around. I figure if he's here next year, it will definitely be his last. But I doubt he might even be here next year. Then we have Alan Barba and the other guy, Gardner. Those guys were getting abused.
And the other guy.
They were getting, well, we don't know their names because they were getting abused. They were like turnstiles. Jason Kelsey was revealed between those two guys as, you know, he needs better guards on either side of him. The only lock on that offensive line is Lane Johnson. So we're going to need at least two or three offensive linemen. We need a quarterback. We need a running back. We need some type of weapon that goes deep, whether it be a dynamic tight end like Rob Gronkowski or Jason Witten in his prime, or whether it be a speedy outside wide receiver. We need something. That whole offense needs to be completely reworked.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. It's going to be a mess for the next season.
Yeah.
Good luck, whoever the head coach is for that. But there you go. That is our brief little say on Chip Kelly and R.I.P. Chip Kelly, because he is no longer the coach of the Eagles football team in memoriam, Chip Kelly, to start off the opening ceremony of the 2015 Crispy Noodle Oddies. Now, all the news is out of the way. Are we ready to dive into odd news, the best of 2015?
Yes, let's dive into revealing some of the winners of the first annual Oddie Awards.
Yes, we're actually serious. We actually came up with like awards
for
these news stories.
We're not joking around.
No. The first set we're calling the Odd News Characters. So these are people that, wow, they...
These are individuals that really stood out to us as being, you know, above and beyond their brethren in the Odd News. You know, just those characters that you latch on to.
Just unique thinking here.
Exactly. That's a common theme between all of them, is just unique thinking and just a character that sticks in your memory. And so for the first award of the evening, we have the best performance by a female Odd News perp. Episode 139, Mike's Crush in Adorable Drug Kingpin.
A 19-year-old girl who is the daughter of a DEA agent was arrested for drug dealing over the weekend.
Saw that one coming.
19-year-old Sarah Ferre became notorious for her cheerful mugshot after being arrested on drug charges. And then the story goes, after her mugshot, she took a selfie in the prison waiting area.
But first, let me take a selfie.
I think that's the one thing you absolutely should not do before you go to jail.
Yes. It's very similar to the other one where the person asked for the picture for Facebook.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
But she flat out asked for a selfie.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Well, again, why are people taking pride in this? You just got arrested.
Yeah.
This is not something to celebrate.
But first, let me take a selfie.
You know what? In my head, whenever I hear this, I just imagine, like, every time somebody takes a selfie, this music plays, and everybody just breaks out into dance.
That's what they did at the jail cell.
She's like, but first, let me take a selfie, and everybody starts dancing.
But first, let me take a selfie.
19-year-old Sarah Ferre is the daughter of Agent Bill Ferre, a Drug Enforcement Administration official. Who is from the Galveston, Texas area, but he's currently stationed in Panama. Sarah was arrested in College Station, Texas for allegedly possessing and distributing cocaine, marijuana, ecstasy, meth, and LSD.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she was full blown.
She's like a drug kingpin.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. How old was she?
19.
Man.
She's ambitious.
She had a... I was just going to say, she has a bright career ahead of her. If only she didn't get caught.
Her mugshot...
She's like a real-life Walter White Breaking Bad over there.
Yeah.
You know?
Her big grin mugshot went viral over the weekend, with some newspaper outlets calling it the happiest mugshot in America and the most adorable drug kingpin you'd ever meet.
Do we have a picture of her? I want to see. What's her name?
Sarah Furay. F-U-R-A-Y.
Sarah Furay. I want to see this picture. Oh, my gosh. She's, like, adorable.
Oh, aren't you a nice little drug dealer?
She is. Do you have a picture of her?
Yeah, I seen the picture.
She's, like, you would not expect her to be a drug kingpin.
Oh, I think you're falling in love with her. Oh, little Mike has a girlfriend at the drug dealer.
Hey, look. She's pretty, she's legal, and she deals drugs. I mean, wow. No.
Yep. There you go, folks. Oh, do you want the ultimate way to Mike's heart? There you go, right there. Be legal. Deal drugs. What was the other thing?
She's pretty. She's legal,
she's
and she deals
legal
drugs.
And she does drugs. There you go.
That's embarrassing.
Is that too much to ask?
No, no, it's not. I think it's...
Jeez.
Are you gonna deny that though, Rich? Are you gonna deny that?
You're a hopeless romantic, aren't you? Just there you go.
I mean, this is a romance story fit for the big screen.
Yeah.
You know?
Mike, he was a guy who does a podcast late at night. And then his best friend gives him the information about the kingpin of his dreams.
Kingpin of his dreams? He'd been searching high and low for that special kingpin that could win his heart and his drug money.
Coming this summer. A tale of romance and illegal substances.
Legal, pretty, and drugs. the true story.
What do they call it in the story?
I love this music, by the way.
Coming this summer, the adorable drug kingpin, rated PG-13.
because it's a clean movie for the for the tweens, right?
I mean, right, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't quite go into our territory.
Yeah, exactly.
She's too sweet to go into our territory.
Yeah, exactly. She's too sweet for R-rated. Even though she deals LSD and ecstasy, she's too sweet for R-rated.
Yeah.
And meth and cocaine. That's the other thing, is she's successful, too.
Yeah, alright.
She's pretty legal, drugs, and successful.
She's got 5 different kinds of drugs for you, Mike.
Man, she's a winner. She's a keeper. I'm telling you. Look, man, I've already started digging the hole. I'm just going to keep digging it. I'm going to try and hit the center of the earth by the end of the podcast.
A jail cell wouldn't come between these two lovers and their drugs.
And their drugs.
Coming this summer. Adorable drug kingpin from Paramount Pictures.
You're going to get sued by Paramount?
Sure. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. Like, you heard it here first. He wants to get sued by Paramount.
Like, that would be so ridiculous if I actually got sued for that.
That would be an odd news story.
Right, I would be my own odd news story. Didn't we say that a couple weeks ago?
Like, it's only a matter of time.
It's a matter of time. I've been researching odd news.
And 1 week, I'm just going to get a call. Mike, I can't do the show tonight. Why?
I'm my own odd news story.
The odd news story.
There you go. I want Mike to meet this lovely girl.
I kind of want to meet her, too.
Please.
She just has such an interesting story, is what it is.
Please, if anybody knows Sarah Furay, the most adorable drug kingpin, let us know.
No.
Tweet at Mikey Costanzo.
No.
Let him know.
Hashtag adorable drug dealer. Oh, man.
Mr. Lonely Arts over here.
Yeah.
He has hope.
I'm a hopeless romantic.
Best performance by a male odd news perp. Episode 134. The Jovial Jerk-Off. In Florida, more than a few people said that they saw a local Florida man publicly touching himself near a Panama City grocery store while he was waving at people as they walked on by.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great. He's just standing there cranking one out. And just holds out his hand to shake it. You're like, no thanks.
I know it's something to do with sex.
I'd ask you how your day was going, but I can clearly see it's been going pretty good.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Florida. Florida, man. So he's just standing. So where was he? He was just standing outside.
A grocery store.
Just standing outside a grocery store. Just
and waving at people. Why not?
And waving, yeah. Why not?
Hello, Mrs. Robinson. How you doing?
Some stores have sign waivers. This is just a more explicit version of that. He's waving something else around.
Officers were attempting to arrest Solomon E. Smith III. Wow, what a name.
You'd think with a name like that, he wouldn't stoop to this type of thing.
Nope. Officers were attempting to arrest Solomon E. Smith III, who's 39 years old, on a charge of indecent exposure following the alleged incident. But after a struggle with police, he was also charged with battery on an officer and resisting arrest with violence.
Wow. Not good.
Yeah. One of the shoppers at Save-A-Lot in Panama City told officers Thursday afternoon that they confronted Smith, who was standing behind a fence outside the business, allegedly touching himself and waving at other shoppers in the parking lot.
That's just the creepiest part.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's bad enough that he's just standing there doing that, but then he just makes direct eye contact and just slowly waves.
Hi, Mrs. Rowe.
Hi, Mrs. Smith.
How you doing?
How are the kids? Just strike up really awkward conversation, you know? What are you doing this weekend?
What a lovely dress that is.
That would be creepy. Oh, my God. So, I always feel bad for the cops that have to arrest people like that. Because I would be, like, terrified. I'd be like, you know, that's gross. So how do they handle something like that?
The victim called 911. She said she was offended and wanted to press charges on the man. When officers arrived and ordered Smith to place his hands behind his back, he refused.
Well, he had a job to finish, Rich.
Yeah.
Wow. Look, I mean, come on. You can't just ask him to stop. I mean,
well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day!
Maybe he's past the point of no return and he just had to see it through to completion.
You're getting really good at these, these
innuendos. Yeah.
Well, as police attempted to handcuff him, Smith allegedly pushed an officer multiple times before additional units arrived and were able to take him into custody. Smith was taken to the Bay County Jail. He's being held on a bond of $5,000.
That's it? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like it should be a little bit more than that, but maybe not. I don't know.
How much would you give him?
I don't know. Like 20,000, maybe?
Well, he was outside of a Save-A-Lot, so I guess they think he doesn't have a lot.
Like touching himself and waving to people. That's super creepy. Yeah,
he wasn't doing this outside of, you know, like a Target. So Save-A-Lot is a little, he doesn't have a lot of money. So it's down to $5,000. He's down to Save-A-Lot.
Okay. What if he was outside of like, I don't know, what's a really like fan, like Neiman Marcus or something?
Well, yeah, then it would be up.
That'd be like 50,000, right? Yeah. The best odd news created character. Episode 102, Breaking Mickey.
Thieves made off with a full tractor trailer filled of shredded mozzarella cheese bound for a Hungry Howie's Pizza distribution center in Central Florida.
Why?
Would you like to take a guess at how much cheese that's worth?
Oh, God. You mean in terms of money?
Yeah.
Cheese is expensive. I'm going to say, like, 500,000.
It's not that much.
Okay.
But $85,000 worth of shredded mozzarella cheese.
That's a lot of cheese.
The truck was officially reported stolen on Sunday. Local newspapers report that the driver and his girlfriend left the trailer at a truck stop in Summersfield on Saturday evening while having a mechanic check the trunk. The county sheriff's officials say the woman reported the truck was missing on Sunday. Deputies say a hauler was also reported missing from the lot on Saturday, presumably to take the trailer. The missing trailer has white mud flaps with Hudsonville Trailer Sales on them. It also has a Michigan license plate. So, if
the
you
see... What the hell is happening in this story?
So, if you see a...
So, was this a truck from Michigan then? Or?
I guess so, yeah. The truck itself is from Michigan.
The truck that was carrying the mozzarella cheese?
Right.
Was from Michigan.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's where cheese comes from, right?
But it's on the loose right now in Florida. Someone has $85,000 worth of shredded mozzarella cheese.
What were they planning to do with the cheese? Are they throwing, like, the biggest pizza party ever? They're just going to have so much pizza.
You can't exactly sell that on the black market,
you know? I can just picture people on, like, the street corner. Hey. Want some mozzarella? Nobody can see me opening my coat and showing the products. But I mean, can you buy street cheese?
Street cheese?
Yeah, like street drugs, street cheese.
Oh man, this is the good stuff.
Oh man, I got some hardcore mozzarella here. They like snort it. Oh no, you melt it and then snort. That sounds painful.
You have to get out the scales and you have to measure how much cheese is on it.
Nah, man. Add another sprinkle on top.
Yo, man, I got cheese for your pizza.
A dime bag of mozzarella.
Hit me up.
Oh, my God.
So, there you go.
Yeah, I want to know what they're, like, did they think there was something else in the truck?
Probably.
Did they think, oh, man, this is the diamond truck. We're going to hit it rich. And then they open it up and it's just cheese.
Well, some idiot right now has $85,000 worth of shredded mozzarella cheese in Florida.
This is like the shredded mozzarella in like packages, right? This isn't just like a truck filled with literal shredded cheese, is it?
I think it's in packages because it says it was bound for a Hungry Howie's Pizza distribution center.
Yeah, so it's got to be in packages.
Yeah.
Like you'd think that there's like a picture of like a pizza on the side or something.
Yo, man, take this package. That's the best mozzarella you'll ever have.
Yeah. Oh, man. People are, like, hooked on mozzarella.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You got that mozzarella?
Oh, boy.
Wait, why'd you turn to Mickey Mouse there at the end?
He's in Florida, right?
Yeah, he is. I need some more of that mozzarella cheese.
Mickey Mouse has a drug addiction to stolen mozzarella cheese.
I can't run the park without my mozzarella cheese. Goofy, you got some more?
Of course, Mickey. I don't have any mozzarella.
We're going to have to go to the back of the stolen truck.
Oh, my God. Mickey Mouse. Why, Mickey?
Oh, boy. You need to get me that dime bag. You don't give me that dime bag, I'm going to blow your effing head off.
Don't mess with the mouse. Oh.
So.
I'm the one who knocks.
Yes.
I am the danger. I would now want to see a Breaking Bad and Mickey Mouse crossover where they're dealing mozzarella cheese.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, man.
You think that of me? I am the danger.
Say my name! Mickey Mouse.
You're goddamn right!
Oh. Oh my God.
That has to happen.
I mean, between this and the Stark County Jail Records show, I mean, we got a new lineup for AMC.
AMC, call us. We got two hit shows
for
you.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh. Breaking Mickey?
Breaking Mickey and
the Stark County Show.
Stark County Record Show. Coming soon to AMC. That's what's going to replace Mad Men and Walking Dead.
Yeah. Oh, man. Just going from one hit to another.
Let us know how you want to proceed, AMC. Best Odd News Entrepreneur. Episode 112. Ristorante del Bioshock. Jeff Waters walked into a Bank of America Monday morning.
Okay.
Walked up to the teller and attempted to cash a check for $368 billion. Billion. All right.
Where did you get the check from? Signed Bill Gates.
The Gates Foundation.
The Gates Foundation, yeah. $368. You couldn't pick a reasonable number? Start with a million. If you get away with a million, they go to 10 million. He goes, why 368? It's just an arbitrary number. Did he do the math? He said, you know what? I've done the math.
I need $368 billion.
I figured out my budget. I need $368 billion. Oh my God.
All right.
That is amazing.
Are you ready for the background behind it?
Yeah, I need to know how he came to think of doing this.
Jeff Waters explained to bank officials that he was walking down the street and a homeless man named Tito Watts offered to sell him a blank check.
Okay.
For $100.
Okay. That's a pretty good deal, I guess.
Wow, I'm gonna get $368 billion for $100. What an investment!
Why didn't the homeless guy think of this?
Wow! That's a low price!
This guy is so dumb. This guy is so dumb. Why would you think that a homeless man who desperately needs money would give you a legitimate blank check for $100 instead of using it himself?
Tito Watts.
It was an awesome scam artist.
Tito Watts told Jeff Waters that his check from the U.S. Bank of Idaho, an issue from the 1990s, would clear for any amount of money that Waters wanted to write it for.
So, again, why didn't the homeless man do it? Maybe because it wasn't real.
So, Waters decided that he wanted $368 billion on the check. God.
Well, go big or go home, right?
Are you ready for the reason why he wanted $368 billion specifically?
Why?
I have an answer.
Okay, yeah. I gotta know how he came up with this seemingly arbitrary number.
Waters told police, quote, "It has always been my dream to own the best Italian restaurant on earth."
Wait. Okay.
I'm 10% Italian.
Oh my God. Okay. What is the other 90%? Purebred idiot?
Hello, it's me, Mario. Woohoo!
Yeah, he's about as Italian as Mario. Yeah. A plumber created by Japanese people.
Hello, it's me, Mario. Woohoo!
Oh my God. Okay, so he's 10% Italian.
Quote, cooking.
Why would the restaurant cost $368 billion?
Cooking authentic Italian food is in my blood.
Okay. I'm sure. With a name like Sam Waters?
Jeff Waters.
Jeff Waters. Whatever. I don't care. The name is inconsequential at this point. The point is, this man's an idiot.
He continues.
Okay. It's in his blood.
I had planned to make the best Italian restaurant on earth. A restaurant that would be 80 million square feet.
What? What is this?
And be able to accommodate 30 million eaters at once.
Where is he planning on building this? Oh my God.
Yeah, this guy's
80 million square feet. How big is that?
That I don't know. That's so big. Like, what? Where the hell do you go from there? And he's 10% Italian, too.
And yeah, this is... Imagine if he was 100% Italian.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
The whole earth would have to be an Italian restaurant.
Oh, my God. Oh, 80 million square feet. 30... you said 30 million people?
Yeah. He said he wanted to be able to accommodate 30 million eaters at once.
I really want to know where he's putting this thing.
Oh, you want to know where?
Yeah, like, how... This restaurant must be huge.
Well, guess what? He has an answer.
Okay.
He says that in his grand plan, he wants to build it underwater.
Somewhere it's Andrew Ryan.
Yes!
Yes!
It's Andrew Ryan.
Oh, that is perfect.
An Italian Andrew Ryan.
Oh, my God. Is a man not entitled to the sweat off of his brow? No, says the man of Florida. Belongs to the bank.
Is a man not entitled to cash a $368 billion check? No, says the U.S. Bank of Florida.
Oh, my God. I did the impossible. I built Rapture. A city under the wheel, under the sea.
Il family del Bioshock. Because you have to do like the family of.
Yeah, the family of,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Il La Familia del Bioshock. I think that's correct, actually.
Yeah,
La Familia del Bioshock.
I think that is, too.
Yeah. We have exquisite food. I don't know, what do you serve under the sea?
You serve Italian food!
Apparently. Oh, I just want to point out, I did the math, Rich.
Uh-oh.
You said 80 million square feet, right?
Yeah.
That is approximately 2.86 square miles, which is about 3 times the size of Ambler. So if you can imagine... 3 Amblers worth of Rapture as one restaurant? That's amazing!
Yes!
We have a freaking train station here! He's building a restaurant that's bigger than Ambler.
Oh my God.
Oh wow.
The reason why I want it to be underwater is because I want people to be able to look at sharks while they eat my Italian food.
There's just no rhyme or reason to any of this. Oh, my God.
He continues, the bank wouldn't give me my money. Tito told me the check was good for any amount that I wanted to write it for.
That bastard lied to me.
Blame Tito, not me. I'm as innocent as a schoolgirl. That is the actual police quote.
Oh, wow.
So, in addition to a forgery count, Waters has been charged with...
stupidity.
yes. Oh, wait.
Uh-oh. Oh, no, there's more.
He was also found to have been carrying illegal Chinese throwing stars and bath salts.
Well, that might account for some of it. So... He's a 10% Italian with Chinese throwing stars and bath salts.
Yeah.
Who
wants to build Bioshock.
Who's gonna build Rapture.
Yeah, wants to build Rapture and Bioshock.
And serve pasta.
For everyone.
Instead of Adam, you just shoot up pasta sauce.
They should make a mod for Bioshock that fits this guy's plan.
Yes. Oh my God. The characters would be hilarious. Sandra Cohen is like Italian. It's my masterpiece. I'm gonna kill you. I want to take the ears off. Nobody's gonna get that reference.
It is accomplished.
It is a pasta. Oh. A man chooses the best pasta sauce in the world. Oh.
Also,
would you kindly put Parmesan on my pasta, please? Yes, everybody has to say, would you kindly?
Yes, you can. Yes. Yeah, everybody in the restaurant, everybody has to say, would you kindly?
I actually love this idea. I want to know if he actually crunched the numbers and found out that's what it would cost to build an underwater restaurant city.
Well, that's all you need, Mike. $368
billion.
But where under the sea, actually? Like, out in the middle of the ocean, like Rapture? Or is this, like, in the Gulf of Mexico, right off the coast of Florida?
Well, what a story. Jeff Waters, man.
It's in his last name, Water.
A vision beyond his own time.
Yeah, a true visionary.
Yep. Just one more thing, by the way.
Okay.
All right. Let's say for the sake of argument, you were able to actually cash a $368 billion check.
Right.
How the hell are you going to move $368 billion of cash from a bank to your own, like, personal, like, whatever you're going to do with it?
Well, you have $386 billion, buy a fleet of trucks. Just walk outside and throw money up into the air and say, I need people to help me carry these bags.
$1 billion in cash would be 10 pallets filled with $100 bills.
Why do you know this?
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. So wait, what was that? $1 billion
is 10 wooden pallets filled with $100 bills.
Okay. So that is 3,680 pallets
of
$100 bills.
Yeah. How are you going to move all that?
Well, in addition to the underwater restaurant, he's also building an underwater warehouse where he can keep all these pallets of money.
So he can go swimming in his money?
Yes. Actually, the restaurant is built in a sea of money.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
$368 billion. Yes, please.
Would you like that in hundreds or fifties?
I'd like some in small bills.
I'm starting a restaurant. I need to have small bills.
Yeah, you need change. Yeah. How much in small bills? Well, you know, give me about a billion in ones. She's just counting. The bank teller's just counting for like a week straight. Oh boy, Rich, those were some amazing characters from this year in the odd news. I mean,
how could you forget those?
I know, my crush dealing those drugs.
After this podcast, you're going to go fly and go visit her, right?
Yeah, I'm going to fly out there and, we're going to have a nice date dealing drugs.
Hey, you got a date now at Ristorante del Bioshock.
That's right. Who wouldn't want to take their date, their significant other to a lovely restaurant like that?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But you know, you cannot discredit the incredible performance by the jovial jerk off. He was just, what a trooper.
Boy, man.
What a trooper.
He was having a good day.
Yes, he was.
Very good day.
But you know, one of my favorites though has got to be the, our own creation of Breaking Mickey.
Yeah. Who steals that much mozzarella cheese? And whatever happened to it? We never found out.
We never found out.
You thought by now somebody would have tried to sell it.
I guess not. I don't know. But speaking of things that we've created, as in Breaking Mickey, we've also done a lot of other weird things on the podcast for the odd news, which leads us to our second set of awards, The Things We Do. And this is the award for Best Tangent of 2015. Episode 137, Duel of the Blue Cheese.
And the first story involves some Star Wars. Yeah.
I would say, are we going back to that one Ukraine? Was it Ukraine place?
Yeah.
But this is in Florida.
No.
So is Florida, like, jealous of Ukraine? Like, we can elect our own Sith Lord as mayor.
Nope. In this story, we're going to Jacksonville.
Home of the Jaguars.
That's right.
They're as good as the Eagles this year.
That is sadly true, yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
But in this story, Jacksonville sheriff's deputies arrested a man who allegedly attempted to rob a convenience store while wearing a Darth Vader costume.
Nice.
The suspect, identified as Jacob Jeremy Mercer, was carrying a silver handgun. Police said that when 32-year-old...
What, no lightsaber?
Yeah, no lightsaber. Yeah, you should have...
I'm so disappointed.
I know.
What was his name? Jacob Jangles Mercer, what was his name?
Jingle Slap.
What was his name?
Jacob Jeremy Mercer.
Jacob Jeremy. Jeremy Jangles. It's the same thing. His name is Jacob Jangles.
Mr. Bojangles.
Robin Convenience Stores.
In Darth Vader costume.
In Darth Vader's costume. So anyway, Mr. Bojangles robbed the convenience store. He didn't have a lightsaber.
Police said that when 32-year-old Mercer showed the pistol and demanded money from the desk, the employee responded back by chucking a jar of blue cheese at Darth Vader.
Why did he just have a jar of blue cheese ready to go?
He must really love blue cheese, man.
Yeah, this story is amazing on so many levels. One, this guy robs the store dressed as Darth Vader. That's amazing.
Yes.
Two, the guy behind the counter is not fazed at all. He's like, Darth Vader, I got this.
Yeah, I have your weakness.
Blue cheese. Darth Vader's lactose intolerant, I guess.
I guess.
But why? Where did he get this jar of blue cheese from?
I guess he keeps it under the desk.
What convenience store just has blue cheese ready to go under the counter? Like, most places have a gun or a bat. This guy's just got an arsenal of various canned cheeses.
Yeah.
Right? Does that make any sense to you?
The only thing I can think of is this employee really loves blue cheese at lunch.
I guess so.
Well, guess
why
what?
Why didn't Darth Vader use the Force to stop it, though? I mean, come on.
Well, guess what? It was a direct hit. It hit Mercer right in the face.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he cracked the mask, so that mean he couldn't breathe anymore?
I guess so. An eyewitness inside the store, who is only identified as Ricardo.
No last name?
No, just Ricardo.
Ricardo, okay.
Witnessed the altercation and said that, quote, Mercer's face was bleeding from the jar of dressing during his escape.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That shows you.
After he got hit with the jar of dressing, Vader ran into his car and sped off, driving recklessly through a stop sign and took a right away from the store. The police found the vehicle, a silver car, a short time later. Officers then went to the place where Mercer was staying and asked him to come outside. His face was still cut open. He was taken to a hospital and then arrested for armed robbery. While a witness correctly identified him as the robber. So.
Wow.
There you go.
See, this wouldn't have happened if he had a lightsaber.
Yeah.
You can't stop a jar with a gun, but with a lightsaber?
You could at least cut it in half.
Exactly. Then you can catch the blue cheese in your mouth.
Yeah. I just never knew, a jar of blue cheese dressing was this effective at handling Sith Lords.
Yeah. I love how you just have Duel of the Fates ready to go.
Yeah, who doesn't?
I know, it's ready to go any moment, at a moment's notice.
Yeah. By the way, this is good, like, music to, like, exercise too, by the way.
Duel of Fates?
Yeah.
It's very, yeah, it does. This was the best part of the prequel trilogies, was this song right here.
Yeah, thank you, John Williams.
I love it.
Mike's happy.
I love it. I don't even care what the story was, I'm listening to Duel of Fates now.
Blue cheese!
Blue cheese! Cheese.
Salad dressing!
Blue cheese! Blue cheese! Blue cheese! What is wrong with us? There's something wrong inside of our heads, Richard.
There's something wrong in Florida.
Yes, they made us do this.
Yes.
Okay. They made us do this.
Darth Vader robbing a convenience store and he gets hit with blue cheese.
That was the... This is the best thing ever. Blue cheese!
Coming soon.
I love how we're both on the same page, though. We're like, we have nothing to say except blue cheese. So we just 110% went with it. It's all in how you sell it. It's how you sell it, Rich.
Coming soon. Duel of the Blue Cheese.
I was like, where's he going with it? So we're putting out a single, Duel of the Blue Cheese.
Yes.
Blue cheese, blue cheese, blue cheese, celery, blue cheese, blue cheese, blue cheese, celery, buffalo wings, blue cheese. Duel of the Blue Cheese.
Yep,
I'm writing that one down.
Coming soon to an orchestra.
An orchestra. You just go up to the orchestra. extra. Yes, I'll have one duel of the blue cheese, please. And they just play it for you. You make it sound like the orchestra is like a store you can go to get your songs.
I'll have a concerto number two.
Would you like a side of duel of the blue cheese with that?
I'll have Allegro number eight.
Do we have a large or medium?
Best musical performance of 2015. Episode 113, Fart Symphony. An Australian comedian who decided to record his flatulence noticed that he accidentally farted, quote, a major seventh arpeggio in the key of B flat.
Okay.
Which apparently is an actual note in classical music.
Wow. So he has a musical ass.
Yes.
Ass music.
Yes. Lawrence Los Natigans, a member of the comedy group Shonky Brothers, said that he was recording farts to send to his brother. Maybe, is this something else you guys do, you and Bruno?
Maybe.
Was recording farts to send to his brother when he noticed that one of his farts was a major seventh arpeggio in the key of B flat with a trill at the end.
Wow.
Which is a very rare note. So, are you ready to hear his fart?
Yeah.
Here you go. The fart that is an actual classical musical note. So that's it in the actual raw form.
Okay.
Perfect. And that's it in like an actual flute composition.
Okay. That's awesome. It does sound like exactly like that. It's so cool.
Maybe you and Bruno are going to be doing this.
Yeah, we'll have to do this now.
Well, at this point in the story, we're going to do something different.
Okay.
I'm actually going to reveal a little thing that's happened here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Mike, I don't know if you're aware of this.
Okay.
But your brother Bruno, there's a reason why he was here today.
Uh-oh.
And it's because right before we started the show,
oh no,
Bruno decided to record a special one for you.
Yeah?
A special
message?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Are you ready for what it is?
Yeah, go ahead.
So that audio right there, I swear to you, Bruno will testify, that is Bruno actually farting into your microphone.
Oh, that's what that smell is. Oh, lovely. Yeah, I got hints of pasta. Yeah, oh yeah, there's the tomato salad we had. That's awesome. That is 100% authentic John Bruno fart is what you're saying.
Yep.
He's got some meat to that one. The other guy's just like a whiner. It's like, bruh. Jamie's just like a really, a full-bodied one. Why are we analyzing farts?
I love how you're discussing it like a wine.
It's got a full-body aroma. It's got a lot of texture to it.
Fruity aftertaste. All right, so now to bring it all together, I have decided to put together the classical music.
Yeah.
Plus the guy's musical fart.
Oh, God.
Plus Bruno's fart.
Oh, my God.
Are you ready for the ultimate fart composition?
Is this a fart symphony?
Yes.
Okay, I'm ready for this.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the Crispy Noodle Fart Symphony. Take it away. Thank you.
Bravissimo! Bravissimo! Encore! Encore! That was beautiful. That brought a tear to my eye. It may have been the onions in the fart, but it was still beautiful. Oh my god. I love that. It was so good. You know, it was a nice blending of techniques between the robust, bold sounds of John Bruno and the delicate, light, airy sounds of the other guy. I wish I could talk about other things this eloquently. I'm a true fart connoisseur, I guess. Yeah, this just gives a show. We're like 25, 26, and we're giggling over farts. I'm describing farts with more flowery language than I have described anything with. Best singing performance of 2015. Episode 129, O Come All Ye Washing Machines.
In Boston, an international club for collectors of vintage washing machines held a convention called a wash-in.
Vintage washing machines?
Yes. Apparently, if you're that obsessed.
That sounds like the most expensive and space, space taking upping hobby ever.
Yeah.
My words are failing me.
If you love washing machines, apparently you can join this group.
Where do people keep all their washing machines?
It's part of the house.
It's part of that. They're just, the walls are made of washing machines.
Yeah, I don't know.
Vintage washing machines. I guess there's a group for everything, really.
I guess. But apparently this is not new. This club called the Washing Machine Collectors Club was founded in 1980 with only 6 members, but now they have hit 3,000 members and actually had a convention called a wash-in in Boston.
That's so weird.
Are you ready for what they do?
I'm assuming they wash things.
Yes, for 3 days straight. Woo!
They wear their clothes. They're like, all right, it's time to wash them.
We're going to party tonight.
I figured out what it is, but it's really about. They wear the clothes of the convention, then they all strip naked and wash the clothes, and they have a giant orgy while the clothes are going. Right?
Okay.
Now you know why it takes place over, like, multiple days. You wash clothes during the day. No, you wear the clothes during the day, orgy at night.
Okay.
There you go. All in right, a giant warehouse convention space.
Mike, thank you for the update on the Washing Machine
Actually,
Collectors
I'm gonna,
Club.
I'm going to join this. What is it called?
The Washing Machine Collectors Club.
Washing Machine Collectors Club. All right. Got to remember to join that. Got to get some washing machine orgies on.
So, yeah, apparently you can join the club if you want.
What do you think the people in the Washing Machine Collectors Club are like? Do you think it's people from all different backgrounds?
I remember when I got my first Maytag washing machine with a little colored dial.
I've always been a Whirlpool kind of guy. Maytag. What's a Maytag?
Those are the two big rivals.
I don't even know any of the other.
Yeah, I don't know. What
does Kenmore make?
I don't even know.
A washing machine? I'm not, you know, very well versed in my washing machine knowledge.
This is one topic. I don't know. I just use a wash. You just put the laundry in the washing machine.
Push some buttons.
Yeah. Is it really?
I didn't realize that they were like.
Check out my upgrades.
Yo, I tricked it out, man.
Yeah, man.
Look how fast you can wash clothes. It's just like spinning furiously.
When I hit the button and wash my clothes, it plays "I'll Come All Ye Faithful."
Is that the first song that popped in your head?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, come all ye faithful, wash my clothes triumphant.
Oh, your brights will be brighter tonight.
Colors won't fade. Don't forget the detergent. Oh, look at all my whites. Oh, look at all my whites. They're so pearly white. Washing machines. I'm done. Good night.
All right, there you go.
I didn't realize I knew the tune to that song until I started singing. I don't even know what the actual lyrics are. I just know this washing machine version.
There you go. It's the newest update. It plays that. Plays that when you wash your laundry.
I really want that washing machine now. Yeah. I just stand in front of it, just singing. The yeah.
The crispy noodle washing machine. There you go. You know,
all right.
other shows, they have like a merchandise page. They have like coffee mugs and t-shirts. We're going to have a washing machine.
Yeah. The crispy noodle washing machine. It's got neon lights in place. Come on, you faith. It's Oh Come All Ye Clothing or something. Yeah, I don't know what the title is.
We'll work
on the title. Yeah. We have to talk to marketing about that.
Well, there you go. Apparently you can join the Washing Machine Collectors Club.
That's their theme song, by the way.
There you go. You're welcome.
Yeah. Do we get royalties for that now?
Yeah,
right?
We have to send this to them and get our royalties. The best odd news skit of 2015. Monopoly Wartime Letters, episode 134. A man in Missouri was banned from passing go or collecting $200 when he actually started a fight at a Monopoly tournament and police sent him directly to jail. And I gotta admit,
the author of that article had far too much fun writing that.
Yeah. But I gotta admit, this is kinda true. Monopoly will rip friendships apart.
Oh my god,
it's vicious.
It really is. I mean, if you think watching football is like, makes you angry, you know, George Carlin always said that, you know, when you're at a football game, you're capable of taking the lives of the people around you.
Yeah.
Monopoly is even worse than that.
Right. Because like, Monopoly, you don't just win. You have to cause your friends at the table to go into bankruptcy and take their money.
Yeah.
Like, there's something...
Slowly whittle them away until they're a husk of them of their former self.
Yeah, like, there's something evil about that.
Yeah, well, the game itself was supposed to show the evils of capitalism, and people totally missed that point, and they're like, whoosh, it's a fun game.
Well,
little history lesson for you there.
Yeah. Well, apparently in Branson, Missouri, they had the 7th annual... Oh my god, I have no idea how to say this. OKEC... OACAC.
OACAC.
Yeah, OCAC?
OACAC. OACAC.
Missouri, what are you doing? This is too many vowels in a 5-letter word.
It's 4 vowels! We can't do it!
3, but thank you.
3, whatever. I can't count.
Okay, but anyway, in Branson, Missouri, this is the 7th annual Stone County OCAC Monopoly Tournament.
What is that? Is that a town name? An organization name? OCAC?
OCAC. OACAC.
I'm going to look it up.
Go ahead. 69-year-old John Litton turned violent when he was...
69-year-old?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah, this guy's not messing around.
No, I'm going to kill you, motherfucker, old style.
69-year-old John Litton turned violent when he was asked to sit out from this year's tournament after he engaged in, quote, unsportsmanlike conduct during last year's tournament.
Was he trying to steal money from the bank?
Probably, yeah.
There's always one person.
Yeah, always takes that extra $500 from the bank.
Yeah. Oh, what a jerk.
Police said that there were no serious injuries when the tournament descended into a brawl. Litton was taken directly...
That's actually pretty good for Monopoly. No serious injuries?
Yeah! I mean,
that's impressive. Yeah, that's a win right there.
Yeah, nobody got hurt.
You really want to drive people crazy? Have you ever played Cutthroat Monopoly?
What's the difference?
So, I don't know if... this is what we called Cutthroat Monopoly is. We would take all the property cards and deal them out at the start of the game so that everybody started with properties. And we would trade to the point where everyone had at least one full set of colors so you could start building hotels on, like, your first or second turn. And it got super violent super quick because people were literally, like, going bankrupt on, like, the fourth or fifth turn. and it would just break hearts and destroy friendships as fast as possible.
Yeah, to me, it sounds like whoever's rolling first would have the biggest advantage.
Well, it depends on which properties you end up getting. And we used to play where you could wheel and deal, where you could, like, sell your hotels and get extra money that way. So, I mean, on every turn, you're, like, selling properties and buying properties, and it was just a mess. And it was a horrible, horrible experience.
You sound like it was like...
It was, like, I have serious PTSD from playing...
Yeah, you sound like those history documentaries, you know? I remember back in 1910, during the height of the Monopoly era...
It was 2007. We gathered around the Monopoly board. We didn't know what we were getting into.
We heard of this cutthroat Monopoly. We never heard of this before.
We decided it could be nothing but a little bit of fun.
I wrote a letter to my fair Virginia. Dear Virginia.
Dear Virginia.
I've gone penniless here on Park Place.
If you do not hear from me, it means I've ventured past Boardwalk. I shall not return. Please know. I will always remember our time at the Waterworks. Love, your one and only Mr. Moneybags.
That is great.
I mean, sometimes when you play Monopoly, you do feel like that. You feel like you've hit a point where you're like, I can never be sane again.
I can't manage my own finances in the real world or in the fake Monopoly world.
Yeah, really? It's just like rubbing salt in the wound. It's like, man, Mattel or Hasbro or whatever company makes it, you guys are jerks. I think it's Milton Bradley. I named every other company except the right one.
Oh, my God.
Well,
anyway. So, back to this old geezer guy. Was violent.
Linton was taken directly to the Stone County Jail on charges of third-degree assault, disturbing the peace, and trespassing. He was ordered to be held without bond. When other prisoners learned of what he was taken to jail for, they were throwing dice at Linton, telling him to roll doubles to get the hell out of jail.
Nice.
So there
That's
you go.
Awesome.
You'll feel more comfortable with the dice around you.
Oh man, I think Monopoly. It's a great game, but it's also a torturous game. And that guy was literally willing to get physically violent about it.
Yeah, like so many Monopoly participants.
Yeah, I mean it should be in the rules at this point. It's like the first person to knock somebody out gets to take their money.
Gets to sucker punch somebody.
Gets to sucker punch somebody. Or if you don't have the money to pay the rent on a property, then the property owner is allowed to punch you.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Oh, you gotta love it. You know, it's one of the best moments of The Odd News is where we just go off the rails and we just create something out of nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Where we do these skits or these musicals or, you know, whatever else we do.
Yep. Bruno added his addition to The Odd News.
Yeah, he brings his own flavor to The Odd News.
For you, he does.
Yeah, farted right in my microphone for that one. Yeah, that's an example of the things we do. These are the things we put ourselves through for, you know, these amazing odd news stories.
Yeah. That and sing about washing machines and
that was
blue cheese.
Definitely a first.
I don't know why I thought of Oh Come All You Faithful.
I have no idea. just one of those things just pops into your head. And,
yep.
You know, luckily for us, we were able to run with it and just... That and the Monopoly one. The Monopoly one was, it's got to be one of my favorite skits of all time, I think.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I can't believe somebody had to be, like, suspended from Monopoly tournament. You know? It's always somebody trying to steal extra money for themselves.
It's always, yeah, I know. Always robbing the banker, right?
Yeah, right.
Oh, boy. But that brings us to our final set of the evening, folks. These are the very best of the best of Odd News 2015, and we're going to kick things off with the best random odd news story of 2015. Titanic Crackers, episode 131.
I don't know why.
What?
Yes.
How... What?
I don't know how.
Titanic and crackers?
This is the epitome of the odd news. We are mixing odd news, Titanic, and crackers.
My cracker will go... I don't know the lyrics. It's my heart will go on, right? So yeah. My cracker will go on.
Right. Well, you're actually... You're actually...
Don't let go, Jack. I promise. I'll never let go of this cracker.
Well, you're actually somewhat close to the story.
Oh, my God.
Out of all the things to survive from the Titanic,
really?
Someone claims that they have an actual cracker from the Titanic.
How did they manage to hold on to it? So, you mean a survivor happened to have a cracker on them?
Yes.
And they've kept it.
Yes, all these
for
years.
For 100 years.
Yes.
That's impressive. That's amazing. Has it been 100 years?
Yeah.
Just about, right?
Yeah. No, it has been 100 years.
Oh, it has?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
100 years exactly.
Yeah, I think now it's 100 and change or whatever. I don't know the exact year, but I know it's 100.
This music is beautiful. It's so appropriate.
I thought you would like it. I know it's one of your favorite movies, Mike.
I have such strong feelings about Kate Winslet. I mean, Titanic.
There you go. All right, let me get to the story. Official story here. This cracker that survived the sinking of the Titanic will be auctioned off.
Wow.
Yes, so if this moves you, you can...
I want to be the prick that... Can I say that?
Yes, you can say that.
Okay, I want to be the prick that goes and wins the bid, gets the cracker, and just pops it in his mouth. And everyone's like, no! Rose and Jack, why? You betrayed their trust. We should have the Titanic music at the end of every odd news segment. It's just such a great wrap-up.
Yeah, does it make you feel good?
Yeah.
All right, well, here's the story. The cracker was recovered by James Fenwick, who was an actual passenger. He helped hundreds of Titanic survivors who had escaped the sinking ships on lifeboats. He then kept it when he made it back home and just left it in his family's possession. It's estimated that this unusual souvenir will start the bidding at around $10,000 to $12,000, but will climb as high as $18,000 for a cracker.
Wow.
Yeah.
I bet it tastes really good.
All that sea salt?
Yeah. Well, look, now they advertise when you buy potato chips, like, with sea salt. It's like, ooh. This is nasty New Jersey piss salt. I mean, can't wait.
Titanic was ahead of its game, ahead of its...
It was. Well, it was a luxury liner, so, you know. Of course, they had to bring in stuff nobody else had. But I want to know what's going through his head, like, oh, man, we have to get these people off the boat. Wait, I'm really hungry. I'm just going to grab some crackers from the galley real quick.
Well, rescuing people makes you hungry.
You got to keep up your stamina.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
If I'm going to save as many people as I can off of this sinking ship, I need the...
Also, if you get seasick, you have the crackers.
Yeah.
Right. I imagine people get pretty seasick on a boat that's sinking. Right?
The cracker...
I just can't get over the music, though. I'm sorry. This is great.
The cracker is... The cracker is from an old company called Spillers and Bakers.
Just in case. Spillers and Bakers? Okay.
Yeah. And it's actually imprinted in the cracker, Spillers and Bakers. That's how they can...
What type of cracker is it? Do they know? Is it like a saltine? Is it an oyster cracker? Is it a graham cracker?
I think it's a saltine.
It's a saltine?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is 3.5 inches by 4 inches. It is encased in a photographic envelope with an original notation from Mr. Fenwick. This is a pilot cracker from the Titanic lifeboat, April 1912. Oh, there you go. There's the year.
There you go. So it is over 100 years old.
Yes.
Wow.
It was part of a survival kit in one of the Titanic lifeboats, and Mr. Fenwick kept it as a souvenir, and he and his family held on to it until now. So if you have $18,000 to blow on...
I think we should... me, you, and Jamie should pool our money together and buy this cracker and split it three ways and eat it. Put it on our soup or, you know,
well,
put some peanut butter and jelly on it. It would be delicious.
I think that would be a noble goal.
I think so. To eat the cracker is the most noble of goals.
Or we should take the cracker, go out to sea, and toss it in the ocean, just like the old yes. lady did.
Yes. I've. You know what's funny is that in my time since I originally met this cracker, I've gone on and had many, you know, I've had a long life with other crackers, but screw those crackers! This is the one true cracker, Rich. The one true cracker. You get what I'm saying?
Boy, man.
She was a stone-cold bitch. She was a stone-cold bitch in that movie.
Just for the record, if you have never listened to the Chris Moodle podcast, Mike hates Titanic.
I hate it. I don't... No, I do.
You don't rank it as, like, one of the top movies.
People say it's, like, one of the best. No, it's not. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I need to watch it again. You know, other parts in the Kate Winslet parts. I think that would help if I knew what the actual story was. I know there's a gem involved and some steamy scenes, but other than that, it's just a boat sinks, whatever. Okay, don't let me go. There's enough room on the door.
There you go.
Why throw the jewel in the ocean? Like, you loved it. You banged a dude once, right? And then you go on, you live a full life, you have a family, and you're like, oh, but I love that one dude that painted me naked.
We had amazing sex.
We had amazing sex. I'm going to throw this priceless jewel in the water.
Well, Mike, you know.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy that cracker. I'm going to run to the edge of a ship and just throw it in the water and just, like, yeah, take that, James Cameron. You son of a bitch.
You know.
Anyway.
You know, that movie, Titanic, just proves one of the best facts about life.
But
it's always one of those memorable bangs that will never get out of your head that lives on.
That bang will live, will go on.
Yeah, my bang will go live on and on.
Near, far. I looked up the lyrics. Wherever you are, I believe that the cracker goes on. Once more, we bang by the door. And you're here in this movie. My cracker goes on and on.
Best Florida odd news story of 2015. Episode 114, The Florida Missile Auction. Well, Mike, let me ask you a simple question.
Okay. What? I'm worried now.
What do you suppose you think would happen if you put a 9-foot-long missile in the passenger seat of your convertible and drive on busy South Florida streets in the middle of the day while President Obama is visiting?
Well, you're given a Congressional Medal of Honor, of course, for protecting the president. What else? You're fighting the terrorists single-handedly with your... How do you get a 9-foot missile? What are you doing? How does this... Is this the same guy that tried to steal the assault rifle by putting it down his pants?
No, it's a different guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, the answer to the question...
He was arrested?
No, nothing at all.
No, what? Nothing?
Yep, you have to remember, this is Florida.
It's Florida, and they're crazy. That's right. They don't get arrested unless they're partially naked or drunk.
Yeah.
So, wait, was he sober? Oh, he's fine. He's fine. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Yep.
They do the check. Let's see. He has all his clothes. He's not drunk. He doesn't have any drugs. I think he's good to go, officer. I think he's good to go, sir.
Boca Raton businessman Tom Madden claims that he drove a 9-foot-long missile in the passenger seat of his convertible all day on the same day President Obama was visiting the state and had no problems the whole day.
Where was he driving? Was he just driving it around like on a date?
Oh, my little date with my little missile.
Me and my little missile gonna have some fun in Florida.
Is that the theme song to the sitcom?
Yep.
What was the guy's name?
Tom Madden.
It's Tom and the Missile.
Tom and the Missile. Yeah.
In Florida, one's a man, one's a weapon of mass destruction.
It's love at first sight.
It's Tom and the Missile in Florida.
It's Florida and they're crazy.
Laugh track. Ha 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 ha. The Missile comes to the front door. I'm home.
It's like a little hat.
Yeah, hangs it up on the coat rack.
You wouldn't believe it. I almost lost my cool today.
Ha ha. Oh. Ha ha ha. Laugh track.
Right, right.
Yeah. Oh, anyway. Honey, you gotta be careful.
Wait, let's backtrack. I love how we assume the Missile is the man and Tom Madden is like the wife in this equation. I don't know why.
It's a very progressive show, Rich, yeah. Okay? Oh my god.
Anyway, let's go over what actually happened.
Okay. I don't know. I kind of like our alternate reality sitcom world.
Tom Madden drove from Dania Beach to Boca Raton Tuesday morning with the business end of an Israeli Air Force air-to-surface missile.
Why?
From the passenger seat of his topless Volvo.
I love, it's very multicultural. He's got a Volvo. He's in Florida. He's got the Israeli missile. So where is clothes from? China? He's listening to a radio that was built in Japan, you know?
Listening to the police.
Listening to the police.
Don't stand so close to me with that missile.
I want to know, how did he get an Israeli missile? Is he in weapons talks with the Israelis? Well, is he a rogue enemy state now?
We'll find out here.
Okay.
All right. Well, first off, Madden claims that he drove 35 miles an hour on Route 1 all the way because he didn't want to cause an accident on I-95.
Well, at least he was considerate.
Yeah. Madden, who owns his own public relations agency, Transmedia, got the missile from an elderly widow he knows in Miami.
Wait, what was the widow doing with an Israeli missile? It's not making more sense, it's making less sense.
This is Florida.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
It's like, I ask a question, and you're like, well, I'll tell you. An old lady had the missile, and she gave it to him because he's an ad agency. It's like, what? It doesn't make more sense. It makes less sense. It makes less sense now. So unless you can tie up all these narrative threads.
Wait a minute. Are you ready to see how deep the rabbit hole goes?
Okay. Widow got it from a friend.
Yeah, would you like to know how the widow got the missile?
How did the widow get the missile?
Alright, you asked.
Okay.
This is true. This is in the newspaper report.
Okay.
The woman's deceased husband won it years ago at an auction.
How do you... What auction? It's giving away a missile. It's like the Oh my god, this is literally killing me.
Wait. There are two things you have to keep in mind here.
Okay.
First off, what auction just allows missiles to be just, you know, $150 sold. So first off, what auction allows that? And then number two, what husband has the balls to go home and say, hey honey, you know what I just bought for our living room?
An
Israeli missile!
Yes!
We're gonna hang it right in the front window!
Yeah, but what is that? It's a major award.
A major award?
Shucks, I wouldn't know, Dad. It looks like a lamp.
Well, there's a lamp, you nincompoop, but it's a major award. I want it.
It's like a Christmas story, but like in summer of Florida. Yeah.
Well, it is fragile.
Yeah, right, it is.
You don't want to knock that one off the table. Oh my god.
Gonna hang it right in the front window.
Well, that looks like an Israeli, a 9-foot Israeli missile. It is. It's
the
a major
whole neighborhood's
award.
Gonna see.
They won't mess with me anymore. Those damn Bumpus hounds.
Oh my god.
So wait, the auction. Is this like one of those sheriff sales? Like, well, we have this missile lying around. We might as well put it up for sale, right?
Yeah, we need money.
Or is this like, you know how schools sometimes do like silent auctions for charity?
Oh my god.
Oh, wow. So, does the story continue further than the auction? How did
that's the furthest we know.
But, why?
How did this auction get the missile?
Do you remember, Rich, we worked an auction way back when?
What?
We worked an auction.
Oh my gosh, yes we did. We did. It was like for our local church or something. Yeah.
And we were responsible for like bringing out the objects. Could you imagine just carrying out a missile? And the next item up for auction is a 9-foot Israeli missile handcrafted by small children in a Southeast Asian country. It's packed to the brim with explosives, one of a kind. What's the opening bid?
Help out our Jewish friends and bid on this one in a lifetime missile.
He goes to the church. So, auction to husband, leaves it to his widow. The widow gave it to the man? Gave it to Tom?
Yeah, obviously she didn't like it.
So she just gave it to him?
Yeah.
Here, have this missile. How does that arise in conversation? Tom's just like, you know, I've always wanted an Israeli missile.
Oh, well, aren't you in luck?
She's like, funny you should mention that. Opens the closet door. There's just this missile with a coat hanging over it. I can't get over the auction. I cannot get over the auction.
What auction allows this?
Oh, my God.
The missile...
Is this a real missile?
The missile is purported to be an artifact from the Six-Day War in 1967. Tom Madden was happy to take it off of her hands, figuring that he may use it for another charitable event.
This missile's just going to get passed around from charity to charity.
This must be a Florida thing. Where else do you buy missiles for charity? Oh, I'd really like to have that. You know what?
What do you do with a missile? Okay, so you buy the missile, you give a lot of money to charity, you're driving it home, and you go, well, crap, I didn't think where I'm going to keep this thing. What do you do with a missile when you get it home? Do you literally put it up in front of the window?
Yeah, you do it like a Christmas story.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but what is that? It's a major award.
A major award?
Shucks, I wouldn't know, Dad. It looks like a lamp. But it's a lamp, you nincompoop. But it's a major award. I want it.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know what? I don't want to say it, but, you know, we have a surprise for the Game Show Marathon. No.
Yeah. Speaking of charities.
Yeah, right. Speaking of charities, boy, wait till you see the Game Show Marathon this week.
Oh, Rich just comes out on the camera carrying a missile. Surprise! I was Tom Madden all along!
This is what's behind door number two.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You can have the missile, or you can have what's behind door number three!
It's an aircraft carrier! I wonder what other military hardware you can auction.
I don't know.
Off.
I think
is this a thing? Can you go to auctions and buy military hardware?
Obviously, everything must be on the table if you can buy a missile.
I know that sounds really dangerous, doesn't it?
Well, then Tom Madden realized that the day he decided to pick up the missile from the woman happened to be the day that President Obama was visiting the National Hurricane Center after a night of local fundraising.
Well, there you go. Take the missile to the fundraiser.
Help out Obama.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Madden thought that people would see him driving around with a missile in his car and thought it was going to cause him trouble. But he says that he had nothing to worry about. He even claimed that he stopped at McDonald's with the nuke in the passenger seat and it didn't faze the McDonald's workers.
It's just a normal Tuesday for them. What's that? Missile? I've seen bigger.
Yeah, come on. Oh, wait. It actually says here, According to Madden's eyewitness account, he said, quote, after he ordered the meal, Madden said to the McDonald's worker, quote, don't you see what's beside me? And she said, dude, do you want a small or large? We got to keep the drive-thru moving.
He's like all impressive. He's like, oh, I'm a badass. I got a missile. And she's like, really?
Yeah, come really? On. We got to keep this moving.
Come on, move it along, move it along. Did the missile fit under the drive-thru thing?
I guess it did. There's no, it's 9 foot long. I guess it does.
I guess. If you angle it properly, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's hilarious. I can just picture some guy driving around with a missile sticking out of his car.
Well, that's what this guy did. That's what this Tom Madden guy did. And
Tom Madden.
I want to know the story behind this damn missile, man.
I know.
What the hell's going on here?
I love how you can, like, trace it back, like, two or three steps, and it just, like, fades into obscurity.
And it gets more complicated.
Yeah. It's like, well, he got it from a widow. It's like, what? And she got it from an auction. You know, sometimes there's so many great odd news stories that you can't fit it all in, so sometimes we do a special. And this next award is for the best odd news special of 2015. The award goes to Missed Connections, episode 95.
You know, have you ever been on Craigslist?
Yeah. I mean, I've never bought anything on Craigslist, but I know of the website. I've seen it before.
Well, if you go under the personals segment of Craigslist, there's a page called Missed Connections.
Okay, yeah, that's where they're like, you know, person in coffee shop with blonde hair. You bought a bagel, I bought a coffee.
Yeah.
We were meant to be.
Yeah, it's for, you know, maybe you saw somebody you thought was really attractive, but you were nervous. And
yeah.
You didn't say hi to them. This is like your second chance to try and reconnect with them.
Yeah, that never works, though.
No, it doesn't. But that doesn't stop people from trying.
Right.
And I have in my hand the strangest missed connections personals of Craigslist.
Oh, this is
that,
really
that have been posted. I figured since next month is February.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to need to start trying to hook these people up.
Yeah, they have these missed connections.
Yes. So as a public service here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, I extend a helping hand to try and find out these people with these missed connections.
Okay.
So please.
Maybe we can be like Cupid and connect these missed connections.
Yeah. So if you'll please indulge me, Mike.
Okay.
This is the strangest missed connections that we're going to try and find out.
I can't wait to hear these. You have music.
Yeah, you know, we're trying to get these people together.
Oh, wow.
All right.
I like it.
So our first one, we're reaching out to Edmond, Oklahoma.
Okay.
So, hey, ladies, keep an ear out if you're in Edmond, Oklahoma. A real post. You was taking orders at the counter of Taco Bell on 2nd Street and Santa Fe. Our eyes kept
true love over Gordita Crunch Shrimp Supremes.
Our eyes kept locking onto each other. I just wanted to say that you are very beautiful. I hope you see this and get back with me. I would like to talk to you.
Oh, that's touching.
Boy, my heart's melting right now.
Yeah, just like the cheese on my Crunch Shrimp Supreme.
Yes.
Oh, you gave me 3 tacos, all soft shells, but they became hard shells. Yes. When I saw your eyes when you put the meat into the taco shell, I thought about putting, I'm not going there. Oh, you can fill in the blanks.
All right. Are you ready for our next missed connection?
Yeah. I don't know if I can top that one. But
we're gonna go.
Where's the music going?
I've got it going. Don't worry. I've got it going.
This is amazing. You put so much work into this.
All right, our next misconnection goes out to Danbury, Connecticut.
Okay, so Danbury, Connecticut.
Yep, it's a real town.
Okay,
so
why do all these weird things happen in weird towns? Edmond and Danbury.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so you fine ladies of Connecticut, here you go. This might be you. You were the tall brunette with the near perfect body that farted in the bread section.
What? It smelled of eggs and sour meat. Like, what? I want to smell your farts for the rest of my life. No, come on.
I was the tall guy next to you that looked over and asked, was that you? You replied, no, it wasn't me.
This is like a really bad sitcom.
But as the stink grew, you continued to deny your flatulence. It was evident, though. I tried to get rid of the fart by waving... by waving two loaves of ciabatta bread. You are beautiful, and even
who wouldn't want this guy, yeah.
You are beautiful, and even if you are a liar and fart like a horse, I'd love to meet up sometime.
Oh my god. That's how you win a lady's heart.
Yeah. Like, so
calling them a liar and saying they smell like a horse.
Hey man, it's
you
all
smell
about
like
love.
A horse and I want to ride you all night long.
That's true love, you know. I don't care what you smell like, you're so beautiful.
I love that line, and I looked over and said, was that you? And you looked back and said, no. That's almost as good as the sand conversation in Star Wars Episode 2.
Oh my god.
Alright,
let's get to the next one. You know,
I don't know if I can handle these. Was that you? No. Even though you're a liar and you smell like horse.
You know what? This segment wouldn't be complete without a Florida one. So why not?
Good lord.
This one goes out.
This
one goes out to the ladies in Orlando, Florida.
Ah, Orlando.
Yep, this might be you. Let's go with this one. I had an extra half hour in my hotel room to myself. I was extremely horny and kind of feeling adventurous. I decided to go out on the hotel balcony in hopes that a woman would see me. But I was pretty sure nobody would. Well, you did see, and I decided not to stop doing what I had to do.
I
would have shown you everything, but it looked like you pulled out your camera phone, and I did not want to be on your camera phone. Camera phones scare me. I quickly finished.
Oh my God, you shouted
something at me. What did you shout at me? I would love to chat and find out. Class, right here.
I finished quickly.
Yes.
Thank God for that. Oh, man. I love how as you're reading, you come to the realization, oh, he's jacking off. But he started while he was inside because he said, I had to finish what I started.
I had to finish.
Yes. So that means he starts inside. He's like, it'd be nice if I was actually, you know, I don't know. This is just too weird.
All right.
I didn't think anyone would see me, but you did.
All right, let's
go. I think she pulled out the camera phone to photograph the illegal act.
Yes.
But he did
not like camera phones. That's
so
scare him.
Finish quickly.
That scares him.
He can finish on demand, apparently. Camera phone got finished. Oh my god. Camera phones scare him.
All right, let's go to Texas.
Good old Texas.
Texas is very romantic, right?
Yeah, the Lone Star State. You got, I don't know, what do you got in Texas?
The Alamo.
The Alamo.
It's very romantic.
The site where hundreds of people died. So romantic.
So romantic.
So romantic. You go to the Alamo, you look at half torn down building and you think, yeah. Yeah, this is true love. Did they meet at the Alamo?
All right, this is San Antonio, Texas. So
okay.
all the ladies out in San Antonio, Texas.
I love how these are all guys.
Yeah, they're all guys. Yeah, none of, yeah. No, sorry. Girls don't do this.
No.
No. All right. So, yeah, this next one is San Antonio, Texas.
Ooh, music change.
This is the most amazing segment we've ever had. I'm so excited.
All right, go ahead.
Yes, I had sex with your mother.
There you go. No need to read anymore. That's the one for all the ladies.
Nope.
Oh, it gets better.
Yep.
Okay. Now, you see, I thought the girls would have been tripping over themselves to get to a guy like this.
Yes,
I had sex with your mother.
Yes, I had sex with your mother. I am sorry, but I cannot change that. I spent most of my life searching for that special relationship, and I threw it all away on a drunk whore. No offense to your mother.
Wow.
But look, what we need to do...
No, you can't say a drunk whore and then say no offense.
But what we need to do is move on. Yes, I am still married, but I love you. Let's make this work. I want to get high and watch Disney movies naked like we used to do. I love you.
Like we used to do?
Yep.
This is somebody he knows.
Yep.
It's not a misconnection then.
He wants to get back with her.
He wants to get...
And such romance.
Clearly,
right here.
The way to get back with an ex is to have sex with her mother, call her mother a drunk whore, and then say, we just gotta move on.
It's the graduate plan. That works, right?
Yeah.
You have sex with the mom, that impresses the daughter? No, that doesn't, no.
No.
Okay. Let's move on to, this one's a weird one. San Diego, California.
Okay.
I'll just read it as it stands.
All right.
Me in a horse costume. You in a chicken mask.
Why?
We made out in the second stall in the men's room outside of Hall D at the San Diego Comic Con. Same place, same time next year. I'll love you, and I'll wear a llama costume.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Turning it up.
Here's a llama. There's a llama. And another fuzzy llama. Llama, llama, duck.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do this one. Out in Middle Village, New York.
Village?
Yep.
Is that like the village in the middle?
Yes. Good one.
Well, I mean, why do you call your town Middle Village? How creative are you? Is there a village to the left and a village to the right?
And
stuck in the middle with you.
Yeah, there you go. It's right there.
Middle Village.
All right.
Okay.
In Middle Village, New York. Ladies, this might be you. Quote, you were in my confessional booth at Our Lady of Eternal Hope, and you confessed to a bunch of stuff like cursing, impure thoughts, and stealing a fish dinner.
Stealing a fish dinner?
I snuck a peek at you as you were leaving, and I noticed you were smoking hot.
Whoa.
All you have to do is respond with the number of Hail Marys I told you as penance, and I'll know it's you.
Oh, man.
All right,
Those raunchy priests.
One more for the road.
Okay.
And this happened, and this one was posted in Midtown, New York.
Wait, what, there's Middle Village?
In Midtown, yes.
In Midtown.
A lot of middles.
I guess so.
And that's where all the creepy misconnections are.
So don't go to the towns in the middle. The towns on the outer edges, those are fine.
Yes.
Okay.
So one more.
Okay.
Quote, I know this is a long shot, but I was behind you in line at the bank when the robbers came in and shouted, hit the floor. You were a tall, lovely woman with earmuffs holding some kind of tool.
Some kind of tool, okay.
Our eyes met under the desk. I picked up your purse to hand to the robber. I noticed you had an odd spoon in there.
What's happening in this story?
I would have asked you.
I gave your purse to the robber.
I would have asked you for your number, but the gunman told us not to move or talk. But I think we made a connection while we lost our credit cards that day.
The connection was she was super pissed that you gave her purse to the robbers.
If this is you, tell me what bank it was and I'll know it's you. Oh, I hope you see this and we could get coffee sometime.
And I'll give your purse to someone else.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So there you go, lovely ladies. You
so
might...
many available bachelors to choose from. You have the mother effer, the horse costume, the rowdy priest,
yep.
And the guy that gives away your purse to others. I'm sure there were the accusatory fart sniffer.
Yes,
ladies, so many.
If you're feeling lonely, you might want to check out those missed connections on Craigslist.
With Valentine's Day just around the corner.
It might be you. And there you go. Bless your heart. That's what I have for you on the odd news for this week's episode of the Chris Mutal Podcast.
And finally, Rich, I'll let you do the honors since you're the master of ceremonies when it comes to the odd news.
Yep, we've got our last one here. We titled this the best odd news story of 2015. I'd like to think of this more as just the most absurd odd news story ever. And I'm talking about logic.
Like, logic just goes straight out the window.
Yeah, common sense, rational thought. No, this does not exist in this odd news story.
Not at all.
Therefore, the best odd news story of 2015 goes to... Gone Girl 2, I've Always Wanted to Start a Forest Fire, episode 119. A California woman who was recently rescued from a forest with her newborn baby after a three-day ordeal saying that she gave birth, fought off bees, and started a wildfire is doing okay.
Wait, what?
Yes.
So,
now, did all three of those things happen at the same time?
Yeah, I need to know the order of events here. Oh my gosh.
All right, well, NBC reports that 35-year-old Amber Pangborn was driving to her parents' home when she felt like she might go into labor.
So we
go into the woods.
So, yeah, I need to get further. She just takes off into the woods.
So
with a flamethrower and a beehive, apparently.
So instead of taking the main roads, which she thought would be blocked due to traffic, she took a back road through a remote part of Plumas County National Forest.
Smart.
Yeah.
Pangborn said that that's when she ran out of gas in her car.
Wait. Did she even have gas enough to get where she was going in the first place?
No, if your car conks out in the forest, yeah.
This was doomed from the start.
Yeah.
She was either going to give birth in the woods or birth on the side of the highway.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. See that, people? If you think you're going to go into labor, make sure you have gas in your car.
She also discovered that her cell phone had no reception. While she was stranded, she did go into labor and gave birth to her daughter.
That is crazy.
After she gave birth to her daughter, that's when she wandered further into the woods and came across a beehive that was trying to sting her.
Bees! Bees! Bees in the car! Bees everywhere! God, they're here! They're ripping my flesh off!
Son, roll around! Do you hear me? Roll around on the ground.
Forget that. I'm starting to swell up.
Save yourself. Don't be the hero.
Frank, I'm allergic to bees. Me too.
They're huge and they're sting crazy.
Save yourself.
Your firearms are useless against them.
Why did she wander further into the woods? Why didn't she go back?
Logic. I don't know.
I'm stranded in the middle of a national forest. I know. I'll head straight into the heart of it.
Yeah.
Away from civilization.
Yeah.
Was she planning on running away and joining the mountain men and starting a commune in the middle of the woods?
Maybe it's Gone Girl 2.
Gone Girl 2. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is it's the long-awaited sequel.
Yeah.
Oh. So wait, how's the baby doing?
So far, the baby's all right.
She just popped it out, bit the umbilical cord off, Or is it still attached?
Maybe it's still attached. I don't know. I have
she's
no idea.
Dragging behind. She slung it over her shoulder like a hobo patch.
Yeah, she's using a little patch. All like, that placenta.
All the. Oh god. She's. I might be stranded out here for a while. She just starts eating it. That's gross. Oh, I bet there's like probably like a campground, like a mile to one in one direction. You know, she's probably like 40 yards away from civilization and she's freaking out.
After she was saved from the bees, she then lived off of apples and water.
Okay. She was really planning for the long haul, wasn't she?
This is Gone Girl too.
She
yeah.
just straight up gave up. She's like, I'm not going to go backwards. I'm just going to stay right here.
Oh my god, I'm never going to make it back to civilization.
Why didn't she walk backwards? it doesn't make any sense. Or stay with the car. It might be out of gas, but I mean, like, there's a cushion you could sit on, right?
There's something for the baby.
There's the car manual you could read for entertainment. Think about all the features you can't use. It doesn't make any sense. This is really frustrating me. She's so stupid.
Yep.
Somebody...
Wait, it gets better.
Oh, yeah, because she has to start a forest fire. I forgot about that one.
Yep.
So we're at that part of the story now, right?
Yeah. So she moved further into the woods.
Don't understand.
Well, now she has to get away from the bees, so I understand that.
Right, okay. Now she's running, yeah.
Help me, it's my ultimate form!
So she moves further into the forest, and she grabs her hairspray and her lighter.
Yes, that's a great idea. Yes. I like where she's going with this.
Yeah. And started a brush fire.
I thought she started a fire to stay warm. She just started a forest fire just because?
Smoke signal.
I guess that makes sense, but what?
I think her original intent was to, like, stay warm and, like, cook something.
Oh.
But unfortunately, it got...
Why would she just use the lighter, then?
Yeah.
Why is everything to the extreme? Get stranded in the woods, go in further. Come across a beehive, fight them off. Need to start a fire to stay warm? Make a flamethrower.
Well, that was when she did not control the fire properly.
No kidding.
And it spread. Pangborg says that the moment she looked up, she said the whole side of the mountain that she could see was caught on fire.
When they found her, what did they do with the baby? Did they take the baby or did they leave the baby with her?
They're just like, excuse me, we're going to take this real quick.
Bang.
She set an entire side of the mountain on fire.
Pangborn said that was when I looked at my baby Marissa and was like, I think mommy just started a forest fire.
You know, like, this is, look, honey, that's the forest fire mommy set.
Aren't you proud of me?
Wait, she named the baby?
Yeah.
She had a name ready to go.
Yeah, she had time to name the baby, too.
Did she fill out a birth certificate and all that stuff, too?
She lost it in the fire.
Oh, my God.
But are you ready for this?
It's not over yet? I thought that was going to be it.
But here's the kicker.
Oh, there's a kicker.
Because
so the fighting the bees and the forest fire weren't the kickers.
No.
Okay.
Because she started the fire and it got out of control.
Right.
It got the attention of U.S. Forest Service, who reported to the scene, had to fight the fire, and then found the culprit, the mother and her newborn baby, who had made it all the way back to their car.
What? I don't understand.
So now, when the fire has spread beyond the point where she can't control it, oh, now's a good time to make it back to my car.
Maybe I should have stayed at the car. Oh, my God. I think she went further into the forest just to start the forest fire. There's no other reason to go into the forest.
Emergency personnel were called onto the scene, and they fought the flames. They were able to douse it out before it spread any further. And both mother and daughter went to a hospital and are listed in good condition. So,
There you go.
I just have this image of this woman standing there holding a baby just staring out at this flaming mountain.
Yep.
It's like the final scene in a really crappy B-movie action drama.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, you know, it's Gone Girl 2. I've always wanted to start a fire.
What a subtitle!
Coming to theaters in 2016.
Oh, Gone Girl 2. I've always wanted to start a forest fire.
Rosamund Pike, man, you can't believe the crap she's going to be up to in this movie.
I know, it's wild.
They're going to have like the narration. I made sure that there was no gas in my car.
Yeah.
Then I made sure I had the perfect traffic alibi. I left at 5 o'clock during rush hour.
I waited 9 months just to give birth on the way there.
Everybody feels sorry for a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
That's when I took out my hairspray and my lighter.
To make it seem like I was running from something, I sprayed myself with bee pheromones so that they would chase me further into the woods. It does sound like Gone Girl 2. Yeah. I've always wanted to start a forest.
Yep. Coming soon to theaters.
I love the title because, one, it's in the first person. And two, it just straight up says what it's about.
Yep.
And there you have it, folks. That is the first annual Crispy Noodle Oddies.
Wow, there you go. Put it in the books. Those are the stories that just, whew, man. We couldn't get out of our heads after this crazy year of 2015.
Yeah.
All those stories actually happened, and we covered it throughout the course of the year, and that's what we do here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Well, to really wrap things up, let's go over one last time. What have we learned? It can be anything. What have we learned this year in 2015?
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike. Just name anything. What have you learned in 2015?
The biggest thing I've learned is that I... There's nothing I won't do for a cheap laugh.
Yeah.
I mean,
but that's great. That's why you make a great addition here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, reviewing some of these odd news stories. You know, the things I say, as soon as I say them, it's like you can picture it leaving your mouth, and you're like, no, come back. But it's already gone. It's already out there.
And recorded.
That's the best part. But no, you know, I think that goes for both of us. You know, we're both willing to put ourselves out there on the line, saying and doing these crazy things, doing the skits, doing the weird made up songs we're doing, all the characters, all the accents, all the wild, weird tangents we go on, you know, we just lay it all out there on the line. That's one of my favorite parts about this show. One of the things that I've learned this year, every year really, is just the extent of what we're willing to do, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's a credit to, you know, our ability.
Yeah,
to pat myself on the back.
Good job, us.
Yeah. Did that come off as too, like, self-aggrandizing?
No, it's all right.
Okay. What have you learned, though?
I've learned, especially from putting this odd news segment together, that just, you know, I've been following odd news for... Well, since college.
A long time.
Yeah, and it's just every year just keeps getting more and more ridiculous. I can't believe it.
It never gets better. It only gets weirder.
Yeah. I just can't believe how weird it gets.
Yeah. You're never at a loss for stories.
Right. It never ends.
I never have to worry about you coming in and be like, oh, I only found like 4 stories. No, you come in and be like, well, I found 12, but 3 of them are really short. You know? That's more likely than you not having enough.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And, thank you, Florida.
Yes. That's another thing. Every year, we reiterate that Florida is like the backbone, the bread and butter of the odd news. They just continue to give us these stories, you know, more and more stories.
It is. Thank you, Florida.
Yes, thank you, Florida. We should do like, you know, the special, speaking of the award ceremony, we should do like a special lifetime achievement award.
To Florida.
To Florida. I don't know why I didn't think of that until right now. Oh, well,
because they still have more work to do.
That's right. Their lifetime achievement is not over yet.
No, they still have work to do in 2016. But there you go, folks. I think that's going to recap what we've learned this year, 2015, here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
All right, and before we officially wrap it up, I would just like to wish you and yours a happy new year.
Happy new year, guys.
It's been a very fun 2015. Just all the ridiculous stories right there, but that was just a piece of it. You know, we had, first off, you're probably right, like what you said earlier in the show, there's probably 300 more odd news stories that we did over the course of this year.
Oh, yeah, easily.
We've had a crazy and wild NFL season that we've gone through week by week.
Yeah, we had a bunch of special guests on the show. We had Rick Murarkey came on.
A couple times this year.
Yeah, we had the Guardian Shield on.
So, yeah, an actual superhero.
You know, we just, a lot
Chris
went on.
Knee.
Chris Knee, yeah, of course.
Another
comedian. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we had just a lot of fun. This year's been a lot of fun for the podcast, I think.
Yeah. Too many games.
That's right. Always cover too many games. Yeah.
Yeah, that was another highlight of this year. All that can be found on our YouTube page as well.
Yeah. It's just so much to go through.
Yeah.
You know? This year,
it's crazy to try and put a year in just a couple of,
it
you know,
is.
Sentences.
Another thing that I would like to point out for this year is we really started doing those cold opens this past year.
Yeah.
That really took off in this year. With the cold opens and the promos. You've really been doing a lot of great work with all the promos.
Oh, thank you.
That's taken off in this year too, I think.
Yep, that's all on our SoundCloud page.
Yeah. So a lot happened this year for the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah.
Looking back on it.
Uh-huh. And I've had a blast doing it.
Me as
I
well.
I can't believe it's already the end of 2015, to be honest with you.
I know. This is the end of our, is this our third year?
Yeah. Because we started 2013, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because we're up to almost 150 episodes, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my God. Time flies when you're having fun.
Boy, I'll tell you what, that is definitely the case with the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Yeah. And
puts things in perspective, huh?
Right, exactly. And to put other things, to put more things in perspective, that'll wrap it up for 2015 here at the Crispy Noodle Headquarters. We hope that you guys celebrate the new year in a happy, safe, fun way. Enjoy your champagne at midnight. And boy, man, next time we record, it'll be 2016. It's crazy to think that.
A whole new year.
A whole new year.
Yes.
Oh, God, there's more odd news
to come. Nice reference.
Thank you. But you know what? For right now, we're going to start to wrap 2015 up. If you're interested in more on the Crispy Noodle, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook and on Twitter. Search The Crispy Noodle. You'll find us there.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find some of our best bits, interviews, and other fun videos like that Christmas video that we have up right now. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You can get all of our latest episodes downloaded for free straight to your computer, phone, or tablet. You can listen to us at home, on the go, at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right, and if you want to check out those promos Mike was talking about, check out the SoundCloud page, search the Crispy Noodle Podcast, you'll find it there. Mike's Chip Kelly song is on there too, so
yeah,
his wish came true.
That's right, yeah. Christmas miracles do come true.
Yep.
So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. That's how you find us individually on the Twitters.
Oh, man. What a great year.
Yeah, 2015 what a hell of a year. We've been through just all of the ridiculousness and back, but we've made it through another year, and we look forward to giving you another year of crazy coverage in sports, entertainment, and odd news for 2016. The fun continues.
The party goes on.
Yeah, the party goes on. Although it'll be a big party on New Year's, but the party does go on. And we'll see you on the flip side. Signing off for 2015, I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. See you guys next year.
See you next year.
2016, bye-bye.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Good Noodle Podcast, 2015, Kablamo! Oh, get over here, pa-pow! Something!